In this episode, I'll talk about some ways I help myself make decisions with my horses and my life, and I hope they'll help you too. So here we go, episode 230, Why Should They? Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So let's get started. So today in this episode, I thought I'd talk about something that's going in the back of my mind a lot when I teach. And actually, it's something that I will ask students out loud during a lesson, especially if there's a real sticking point or a resistance or something that's chronically not working or something unusual. Okay, that's kind of starting to sound like just about any time. I mean, maybe I think about it more than I think about it. Anyway. I thought I should talk about that out loud to you guys because it is something that I use a lot. Okay, so instead of just talking about what I'm going to talk about, I'm just going to talk about what I'm talking about. How about that? All right, so the question is, why should they? And it's such a good question to ask if you're a teacher, you can ask your student. If you're a trainer, you can ask yourself this question. And even if you're just a rider and you're out there by yourself and you're having a challenge with something, it's a really great question to stop and ask yourself. Whatever it is you're trying to do, whatever it is you're trying to get your horse to do or understand, stop for a second and just ask, why? Like, why should they? And how you answer that can actually tell a lot about how you're thinking about the horse in that moment. It can tell you a lot about yourself. It can tell you a lot about the relationship you have with your horse and the purpose of whatever it is that you're asking for. And so this is something I do with myself too, with my own horses. If I'm, you know, getting really into something or something's challenging or I feel myself getting a little obsessed, I'll stop and I'll ask myself, why? Why should they? It's going to help you realize how important or not important whatever it is that we're asking, you know, is. And, you know, some things are important, right? So some things are for safety. You know, say you have a horse that's like plowing through you or something and you know, they're not afraid. They're just, you know, in your space. Maybe they stepped on you. Maybe they bumped you. They could have knocked you over. Maybe they fling their head, you know, whatever it is. We can go deep into why they might be doing that and things like that. But let's say that the lesson is getting a little bit firmer than you wanted it to, or it seems unusually challenging for them. You can, maybe it's emotional for you. Like, whatever it is, like, that's just an example. So let's just say it's a boundary thing. The lesson might be getting challenging or taking too long or whatever it is. You can stop and say, why should they? Why should this horse honor my boundaries and not bump into me? It's like, well, because they're big and we humans are more squishable than them. Right. So there might be a really good reason. And you can, you know, if you're getting emotional, it feels hard. The horse is maybe digging in and getting even more, it plowing through the boundaries even more. You know, this isn't, it's not meant to be a discussion on like, why might the horse be doing that? Like, we want to go into that. But you can stop and go, why should he do this? And you can say, well, it's for safety. And it's to set the tone of our entire relationship moving forward. Like, there, you might sit back and go, there's a lot of really good reasons why I need to do this. And you can take a deep breath, go get a drink of water, whatever it is you need, you know, find some other assess your training plan, make some, whatever it is, but you can go in going, I thought about it and it is important. And I think it's really important that I make enough progress on this today. And then you can go in with more confidence, right? So you could say, you know, why should the horse learn to soften to pressure on the lead rope? Whether that's in inviting the horse to follow the feel and move forward, whether the lead rope is on their leg, around their barrel, maybe it's to lower their head. Like, why should they learn to do that? Maybe you're getting into it and the horse is having trouble with it. It's taking too long. You're not sure. Again, assess the techniques. We can always assess the techniques. But you might go, well, why am I doing this? Like, why should they? It's like, well, it may save their life someday if they get stuck in something or want to, you know, have a habit of pulling away and they're in this dangerous situation. So you can go, all right, this is hard. I'm going to do my best to learn what I can. Maybe I need some more ideas. You know, you can make whatever modifications to try to get the training session to go a little more efficiently, but you can again go in with renewed confidence, like that this is important, because it sometimes is easy to avoid, right? We're teaching a horse a lesson that's very important. We see the horse struggle a little bit with it. Sometimes that is hard to watch. We don't like to see our horses struggle. And we will then like avoid it or let them plow over us or, you know, not really address that issue with the lead rope. And then down the road, we regret it and we wish we had. We just like, ugh, you know, I wish I had dealt with that because it was important. But other training things are not related to, you know, safety. Some things are really related more to ego, right? So why should this horse do his one tempies perfectly today? Why should this horse do 15 one tempies today? I mean, there's not a lot of good reasons. It could, you know, bottom line, tempi changes are so we can impress ourselves or others, right? Now, if a horse has been prepared, it might not be unreasonable to do it, right? So it's like, maybe why should we do the tempies again and try to get them perfectly straight this time so that they aren't 2 degrees off the marker? Well, maybe because you're going to the Olympics and that's just a very appropriate thing to do, right? Because we're prepared, horses chill, we're just practicing our coordination and like, yeah, we better get precise. But you know, why should they do tempi changes if the horse is struggling and freaking out and getting more and more tense? And you stop and ask yourself, why should they? And you can't come up with a good reason that doesn't sound like, because I said so, that's why, right? If your answer is because I said so, that's why, in that situation, that would be a little red flag, you know, to yourself, if you're listening to yourself. It's a question to ask a trainer. If somebody is riding your horse and things are getting difficult, that might be a good question. Like, hey, why does he need to do the 15 one tempies today? Because he seems kind of freaked out for some reason. And then listen to how they answer that question. That can give you a lot of information. You know, why do they need to do their half pass left to it for a 10, right? Is it just because we want them to, because I said so, or, you know, because I'm going to end up doing competitions with them, and in competitions, they need to do it when I ask, because I ask. So because of that, they must, every single time I ask for it, give it to me because they're a competition horse and that's just the way it is. Right, so that you can hear that question out loud and decide, how's that answer sound to you? Demanding things from a horse, it can have positive reasons, right? We talked about the health and the safety, But there could be health reasons. Like, why should a horse allow us to be precise about their balance and their posture? Why might, you know, maybe there's a lesson where you're really getting into the like nuance of the feeling in the jaw and the alignment of the neck. And you're like, I really need that left hind leg to be over there. Like that could be challenging for some horses. It could be challenging just because they're kind of free spirits that like to look around and, you know, that's a lot of focus for them. So they're having trouble staying focused and not getting distracted. It could be, it's boring. It could be, you know, so it can be challenge. Things are challenging for horses, not just because we're like bashing them and making them do hard things. Like there's a lot of different flavors of demanding, but like, why might I, like, I'll give an example, like Ovation, who's a real goofball. Now he's very light and delicate and I can be precise with him. And he kind of gets into it when he finds this balance, but he kind of would rather just go pick up the cones and hand them to me, right? So why should he go through this process of being really precise about balance and posture? Well, because that's going to keep him healthier and sounder in the long term. If I let him bomb around in his natural posture, he will not be sound as if I'm very precise. If I'm going to ride him like that, we've got to be super precise. Sometimes we're going to find out when we ask ourselves this question that we're avoiding something. Right? If we're really honest with ourselves, and I think this is, it's important to ask this question to yourself out loud and answer it out loud. It's okay. We're horse people. Chances are we're going to be out with enough space that we can do this out loud. No one's going to hear us. We're not sitting in an office, right? But like, ask yourself out loud, like, why does he need to do this today? And then listen to your answer. Because you might find you're avoiding things. Like, well, why does he have to lunge for an hour? And you go, well, because, you know, you might say something like, well, because he's just going to buck me off if I don't. And you can maybe hear a tinge of fear, right? It's really important to know that, because a lot of times when people are afraid, instead of saying, because I'm afraid, I'm not going to be able to like, you know, if he might buck, I'm a little afraid I might not stay on. And instead of just saying that, we start putting it on the horse. Well, he needs to lunge because he's going to buck me off and blah, blah, blah. So you just want to listen, say it out loud and listen. And if you feel like, well, I'm just going to lunge him today, you know, I'm just going to lunge him again today. And like, oh, it looks like it might, I think the wind might blow later, so I'm just gonna do him online today. Like, why should he just do online today? Well, because, you know, I thought the birds were chirping a little more loudly today. You might hear and be able to call yourself out and go, okay, hang on a second. You're avoiding and you sound scared. Like, what exactly are you avoiding and what exactly are you afraid of? Because that is what's gonna give you the peace that you can overcome it. You know, it's like, then you got to face it and go, okay, I need X, Y, and Z in order for me to feel like I'm confident enough to ride him. That might be, I need to go to the gym. I need to go do some Pilates. I need to do more yoga. I need to do balance exercises. I need to ride other horses. And meanwhile, it might be like, hey, I need someone else just to ride him so I can watch and just confirm that he's going to be okay. Or I mean, you know, he's looking a little tense. How could I get him more relaxed? How could I get him more focused? Like, you can get specific. So again, whenever you're having something that's feeling not quite right, and you find yourself doing stuff, especially if it feels like it's getting difficult in some way, ask yourself, why should he do this thing? Whatever discipline you're in, you probably have a list or a sense of a list of all the things the horse needs to learn in order to progress in the direction of where you want them to go and where you want them to end up. And just know that along that way, we have a million decisions to make. Millions, not just a million, millions of decisions to make. Think of how many moments there are in a day and how many decision points we have. And there's so many options for what we could do in any particular moment, on any particular day, with any particular horse when we do it. A lot of times, timing is so important. That's why I have time. And timing is one of the 9 habits for excellent horsemanship that I teach in the Habits for Excellent Horsemanship course. And a lot of times, excellent training is as much due to when you ask for things as it is what you ask for. So many problems arise because we're asking for too much or the wrong thing at the wrong time. We're just waiting or preparing a little more will have better results than pushing through. And that will come out with the why should he? Why should he do fill in the blank? You could add the word today. Like, why should he do this today? And that'll help you bring in the time element. So asking yourself, why should they do it now, can be so helpful. And again, listen to how you answer. Listen to the tone of your voice. You may learn that you're deciding out of frustration or domination or fear or really sound logic. When you get your answer, there's another layer that you can do. So whenever you get your answer, you can ask yourself, is this true? And so for some of, you know, sometimes we'll say, well, why should he? Because he needs to do this today or else fill in the blank. Okay, you sound pretty sure about that. Ask yourself, is that true? Is that really true? If we don't do this today, is whatever you just said actually going to happen? And you might be like, yeah, no, this needs to stop now because he's in danger and this can't go on any longer. It's like someone's going to get hurt. Or it's just too much of a habit, right? So, you know, is it true that he must bend more to the left today? Is it true that he needs to be lunged for an hour and treated like a bad horse just because you're feeling insecure about your own riding abilities? Maybe, maybe not. And, you know, that's some of you are like, well, Karen, you're the trainer. Why don't you tell us how to make these decisions? But it's as important and maybe a little bit more important to know the questions to ask yourself. And that's why I'm giving you the questions to ask, and I'm not giving you the answers, but by asking the right questions, it's going to help you find the answer. And now there's also, you know, nuances particular to your individual horse. So there's sometimes like the big picture of like, what's the smart training plan idea of based on somebody's technique or model, but there's nuances for your particular horse. Like, why should your horse have a day off today? Maybe it's because you know your horse and you know that a well-timed day off makes the next days better, more refreshed. You know, but why should you have a training session today instead of your normal day off? Well, because maybe you know your horse and you know that it's really important to follow through on yesterday's session and today give them a chance to be more successful more easily. When you make a training decision with your horse, it can be so revealing to ask yourself the question, why should they? And why should they do it now? It'll give you the opportunity to be thoughtful, to hear your motivation, to sense your emotions, to review your logic, or even to understand your fears and what you're avoiding. We have so many options, and you just want to make sure that you're making appropriate, fair, thoughtful decisions that keep the big picture in perspective, because some things are important and some things are not. At some point, You may think that horses never should have to do anything for us, and that's okay. You can then make appropriate decisions for yourself. Obviously, I believe that although I don't think we shouldn't ride any horse on principle, because I think there's ways to do it where it really can be a fun deal to the horse, and the horses can enjoy it, or at least seemingly willingly participate in the process and the adventure that they go on with their human. I do think some people shouldn't ride or be with horses, and some horses shouldn't have to be ridden or be with people. We all just have to strive to do our best and be our best, and remember, in the big picture, there's nothing that horses inherently should do for us. Everything and anything they do for us is a gift. Okay, now as a little bonus, I want to talk about another way I help myself make decisions in life. And of course, this works for horses too. Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Dressage Naturally video classroom. Yeah, that's my program. So if you love this podcast, you will really love the video classroom. It's where you can see me coaching students, narrating my rides on horses, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and so much more. So let's see all these words put into action. Check it out with a 1-week free trial, and then it's just $29 a month after that. So even if you only watch one video a month, it is totally worth it. And we add new content every month. So what are you waiting for? Go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom. Okay, now let's get back to the pod. So I want to tell you about what I call my stupid story test, or my stupid story rule. And this is one of those things I'm getting deja vu because I feel like I must have told you guys about this on the podcast before, but maybe not. Or if I did, well, here it is again. But it's something I figured out for myself, and I've told a number of people, and I've realized that people really pick up on this. So I think it's super helpful. So here is the idea of the stupid story rule. If you're at kind of a decision point and you're thinking, should I do that? You ask yourself, imagine if something happens to you, you get hurt or there's some sort of, you know, not so ideal situation, something bad happens. And then later you're telling the story of how that thing happened. Are you going to feel stupid telling the story? So that's the rule. You catch yourself making a decision. Imagine, well, you know, why wouldn't you do it? Is there something bad that could happen? Picture that thing happening. Picture yourself telling the story. Are you going to feel like a dum-dum telling the story about it? So it works really, really well. So an example. The examples come up with this all the time, but here's like a daily life, you know, this is not a daredevil kind of story, but just a normal one. So I'm in the barn. I do most of my stuff at Liberty. So the horses are in the barn. I'm trying to do just about everything with them at Liberty. So I've got Atomic in the aisle and I have to laser one of his legs, his tendons. So he's standing there and I have a chair and I'm sitting in the chair, that little plastic portable chair, and I'm sitting in the chair, lasering his leg. We've got this worked out. Pony Club is probably going, you shouldn't sit in a chair next to a horse. So, you know, but it's one of those, that to me is like, it doesn't pass, it doesn't feel stupid to me because I've prepared. The barn is open. I know my horse. Like, okay, there's some calculated risk there, but I've thought about it and we've practiced and prepared. Okay, so I'm lasering his leg. And then another horse walks in and goes, and which is not unusual. So my horses are fine. It's like, I'm aware of the surroundings. I'm aware of where I am, where Atomic is, where this other horse is. I'm able to talk to the other horse and have boundaries. I'm able to talk to Atomic, right? So again, calculated little potentially chaotic moment that might not be a good situation for lots of people, but I'm on it. I'm aware. But then the other horse comes behind me. So now I'm in a chair and I'm between Atomic and this other horse. And Atomic is a top dog. So the chance that he is going to fuss with this horse is high when the horse is right next to them. And even though they're pretending not to pay attention, you know, they ended up coming right standing there. So that's at that point I go, oh, I'm picturing myself telling the story of like, Karen, how did you get a concussion? Or, you know, how did you break your arm from a horse stepping on it? It's like, well, I was sitting in a chair with two horses at liberty, you know, in between two horses at liberty, and one of them was Atomic, who tends to like to, you know, go after other horses. And, you know, this other horse who likes to fight back. That doesn't pass the stupid test. So I'm kind of aware and I'm monitoring the situation. And at some point I go, okay, that doesn't pass the stupid test. Even though they ended up, you know, they weren't fussing with each other. They were sitting quietly, but it's a way of me sort of monitoring the threshold of calculated risk versus, you know, prepared, not risky moment to, okay, we're on the edge, calculated risk to like, okay, I feel like a dum-dum. And there's a really good chance something's going to happen. And if it did, I would feel like a dum-dum. I would feel stupid telling the story. Okay. So it is subjective, right? It is something that you're going to have to, it's personal. Like I said, there's certain things that you know, are just smart things to do with horses. But I'm thinking back of, you know, where I learned with horses, or you can, you know, look in beginner, you know, manuals for beginners. That's like, never walk behind a horse, never do this, never do that. And I break a lot of those rules. I mean, I ride bareback and bridleless. You know, some people like never teach your horse to rear. Like there's rules, and then there's our rules, and there's rules that we're doing consciously. A lot of people would say riding bareback and bridleless doesn't pass the stupid test. And there's different horses that would be true. I don't ride all my horses bareback and bridleless in all situations. Now, Natia, last time when I did this performance at the Iberian Spectacular, like we did a bridleless teaching session. Low risk. That totally didn't apply. The stupid test didn't apply to that. Like, I'm really well prepared. That was a controlled situation. No problem. Doing the bridleless, bareback and bridleless demonstration at night with music and lights and a crowd, that was more on the edge, but I was very well prepared. Even though we didn't get a chance to do a lot of practicing in all those circumstances, I went in with my eyes wide open. And I was ready, and we were very well prepared. Now, the bringing her into the final, I'll put in air quotes, parade, where it ended up being like all the performers in there cantering around the arena, and I'm in there, and everyone's like cheering, and the horses that had bridles on were kind of freaking out, and I went in there bareback and bridleless. Like, that was on the edge. Because that was a big, big ask. She was lovely, but especially the second night, like, she was not comfortable in there. She was like, okay, I did this for you, Karen, but I'm really not happy to be in here. And for Natia to tell me she's not happy, like, she's really not happy. And I feel a little bit bad about asking her to do that. That was definitely to go with what we talked about earlier. Like, why should she do that? That was purely for my glory. I mean, I wanted to show her off, but she doesn't care about that. So that was for my glory. It was a big ask. She was a little more nervous than I hoped, and I felt a little bad for that. And if I had fallen off and she got loose and I told the story, I would feel stupid. So anyway, so it's just it's a really, I think, helpful question. And maybe I hope it'll help, help stop you guys from doing stupid things and getting hurt in stupid ways. I mean, horses are horses. Stuff's always going to happen. And sometimes we can have, you know, we can have bad things happen. We can get hurt. And when you tell the story, you're like, it just happened. Like I couldn't, it just happened. I did everything the best I could and it still happened. And then that's okay. But I don't know about you, but I like to be thoughtful. I don't like to take undue risks. I'm not really a daredevil. But I'm also still here. So, and I don't have any broken bones. So maybe it works. Anyway, I hope this all helps you. I hope you enjoyed it. And yeah, see you next time. Or I'll hear you next time. No, you'll hear me next time. How do we sign off from a podcast? You'll hear me next time. All right. Be well. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.